morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we have a truly unprecedented event here on today's show. We have, are you ready for this? And Steve, we're going to need a drum roll.
Cue the drum roll.
Very nice. Former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Secretary of State General Colin Powell is on this morning's show. I think we need some applause for that as well. Thank you. General Powell, who will be our very special keynote speaker at ASI Orlando on January 5th, is on our ASI radio special hotline right this minute and is going to talk to us today about leadership strategies during difficult times. Plus, he's going to take our audience member calls at 215-953-4979. Again, that's 215-953-4979. If you have any questions for General Powell on any leadership topic, and please note, all questions must be related to leadership, call us now at 215-953-4979, and we will try to put on as many questions as possible. You can also email your questions to General Powell right now at radio@asicentral.com. Now, without further ado, I'd like to welcome General Colin Powell to the show. Good morning, General Powell.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Well, we're honored to have you on the show, and we're very excited to have you as our keynoter in Orlando this January. And we're going to get started right away with some questions. Andy Cohn, editor of Counselor Magazine, is here to ask the first question.
Well, there have obviously been some tough times in the business world lately, and companies in our industry certainly have had a bit of a difficult year. So how do you suggest that managers lead their companies through difficult periods as they might be facing right now?
I'd reverse the way you put it slightly, Andy, by saying how do leaders manage their companies through difficult times, because it's the leaders who get it done. And leaders are also good managers, but first and foremost, leaders. In other words, people who are there to inspire their followers, people who are there to face the reality of the problem that you are in. In the military, they teach us that your leadership style and what you do to have a good organization is designed for those times when things go wrong, not just for those times when things go right. And so when tough times come along, hopefully the leaders of the organization have created an environment where people don't get spooked and terrified by tough times, but they buckle down and deal with it. First, face the reality of tough times. Don't pretend it isn't happening. Don't pretend you're not losing market share or the enemy isn't doing something that you weren't expecting. In the military, we're taught to always be doing contingency planning for bad things that are going to happen. So when the bad times come, first and foremost, don't lose confidence. As they teach us in the infantry, the leader must never seem afraid, be tired, or be hungry, even while the troops might be tired, afraid, and hungry, and are worried. The leader has to have a sense of confidence. So a leader has to be confident, has to face reality, has to have a plan to deal with the reality that they are facing, and has to execute vigorously, and we like to say in the military, execute violently to deal with the problems that are before you. And so tough times come, tough times go, and you want to create an environment, an organization that deals with the good times and the bad times.
Well, thanks, General Paul. I've got a question for you that several people have emailed in, and that is, what motivational tactics are particularly effective during tough times? And maybe you can even highlight for us a tactic that you've used in a difficult time in the past.
You essentially have to keep telling people that you have a plan to deal with the tough times. And you have to not just have an 8x10 PowerPoint plan, but you have to have a real plan. And you've got to get people to believe in what you're doing. One of the stories I like to tell is that, people will follow you if they believe in you. If they'll follow you if only out of curiosity, just to see how you get them through this. So you have to have people who trust you, and you have built up a reservoir of trust. You can't suddenly start coming up with gimmicks to deal with the tough times. The tough times have to be dealt with by a solid basis of trust that exists within the organization, that people believe in you and you believe in the followers. Leaders have to not just come up with gimmicks and motivational tricks, but they have to have created an environment of inspiration and trust and confidence. And then when the tough times come, people will believe in you, and then you do things like rewarding them, recognizing them, giving them things which suggest that you believe in them. And also, you have to be prepared to do unpleasant things, not just motivational things. Unpleasant things such as firing people. if you can no longer maintain the size of the organization, or if you find followers who are not up to the challenge and are holding you back. Leadership is not just a matter of giving out benefits and trinkets and good stuff and motivational and productivity improving items such as ASI provides people, but also facing the reality that people aren't pulling their load and doing something about it. It's the organization and the success of the organization that always has to come first. So motivate, inspire, give rewards, give recognition, put your arm around somebody and say you're doing a great job, we're proud you're part of our team. Recognize them with all sorts of ASI items or other means of motivating people. But at the same time, you've got to tell folks when they're not doing the job and they have to move on.
That's great advice. Thank you. We're going to pause just for a moment for a message from one of today's show sponsors, I Promote You. And when we return, we're going to answer some caller questions. If you have a leadership question for General Pollard, start dialing us now at 215-953-4979.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we are honored this morning to have General Colin Powell with us. General Powell will be our featured keynote at ASI Orlando on January 5th. For information, check out asishow.com. And now we have a listener question for General Powell on line two. We have Jason, a distributor. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys. General, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks. General, my question is about qualities. What characteristics do you look for and should I look for as a business owner when hiring new employees?
Well, first of all, intelligence, demonstrated performance in the past, and you have got to make a judgment as to the potential of this person in the future. Past performance is an indicator of future performance, but if you're going to elevate somebody into an organization, say make them a general instead of a colonel, past performance is not always the only measure. You've got to have a sense of whether this person can operate at the level that you're about to put them into. I always look for people who have shown in the past and will show in the future total loyalty to the organization. That doesn't mean a yes person. I want people who will tell me I don't know what I'm doing. I want subordinates who will come up and say, boss, you are totally screwed up. That's the best loyalty. That's the most important loyalty you can have, somebody who will tell you the truth and tell you when you don't know what you're doing. Now, you may think you know what you're doing, and you want to disagree with what this subordinate's telling you, and I've done that many times in my life, because they can't consider all the factors I have to consider. But you're not doing a service to me, you're not earning my pay if you don't tell me what you think. And then the other thing I always like to say is I want people who work hard but also know how to play hard. I want people who are balanced in life. I want people also who have demonstrated that they can see around corners a little bit. I like people who come to me and say, hey, Mr. Secretary or General Powell, we just discovered this problem and it's a real mess, but we've already solved it for you. Great. I want people who can see a problem around the corner, anticipate it, and do something about it. And I want people who have the courage to tell me, boss, we have just come upon a terrible problem. I'm going to tell you all about it. It's a real mess, but give us a chance to fix it before you jump in. Those are the kinds of people I'm looking for, those who anticipate, those who give me early warning, those who are smart, and those who give me their total loyalty. And loyalty includes screaming at me when they think I'm doing something wrong.
Thanks, General Paul. We have a very related question on line three, Nancy Cagle. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Do you have a question?
Hello to General Paul also.
Hi, Nancy.
Hello. My question is, we're a smaller company. There's 15 of us, and we're doing some restructuring, and we're hiring some new people. My question is it right to bring in our advice and our suggestions, or should that just be kept for management to do?
I think a small organization, and I also believe this is for a large organization as well, although it's sometimes more difficult, you should have completely open channels of communications where anybody can bring in an idea, a thought, a suggestion, and share it with management in a way that is non-threatening to management, and management doesn't think you're being uppity or something.
Yeah.
And you are not afraid of sharing it with management because you're not going to get your head bitten off. Now, I've run small organizations and very large ones. And on the very large ones, let's say it's Department of State, every morning I met with my 35 principal reports. These are the assistant secretaries, the undersecretaries. I did the same thing when I was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I met every morning with my senior generals, a dozen three-star generals, a bunch of major generals. And we went around the table and asked everybody, what's going on? And is there anything I ought to be worried about today? Is there anything you need an answer on from me right now? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what I'm interested in today. Let me tell you the problems I'm having with the Washington Post or the White House or with somebody else. And I would share with my principal guys the problems I was having, and I wanted to hear what they were going through. And it never took more than 30 minutes. That was the rule. Sometimes it was only 10 or 12 minutes because it was not show and tell. Don't try to brag about what you're doing.
Right.
Just say something if you have something to say, and don't bring me in, your kid's cartoon coloring book page. Stick with what's important. And it was never a threatening meeting. I never ripped anyone apart in that meeting. It was for the purpose of starting the day together. And
yeah.
So if I had a small organization of 15 people, I'd start the day with the 15 of us spending 10 minutes saying, hey, what's going on? How you guys doing? Anybody got a problem? Here's what my problem is, and I want you all to be working it with me. So the smaller the organization, the easier it is to have open channels of communications and to put everybody at the same level. Now, having everybody at the same level doesn't mean there is no boss. It means that everybody's at the same level until the boss decides to do something. And this is the decision. Thank you for all your input. I appreciate hearing from you all. Now, here's my decision. Here's the way we're going to do it. And don't come back to me unless you have new information. Otherwise, you execute just as if it was your idea. So, I believe in an open, transparent process where everybody chats until I decide what we're going to do. And then it is no longer open or transparent. We're going to do it my way. And we're going to do it my way until you suggest that my way is not right. Then we'll change. But until then, total loyalty.
Thank you for calling in, Nancy.
Thank you.
We are going to pause now for a message from another one of today's show sponsors, Logomark. When we return, we'll take more of your calls at 215-953-4979.
Leadership, integrity, and ingenuity. Traits too few have today, but that are exemplified by General Colin Powell and industry leader Trevor Neeson, owner of Logomark and a member of Counselor's Power 50 for the past 4 years. Because of Trevor's unwavering commitment to excellence, Logomark has come to represent superior product design, innovation, quality, and service, while taking the lead in product safety as a founding member of QCA. Working with Logomark guarantees you peace of mind and the best this industry has to offer. For more information, contact Logomark at 800-789-4438 or visit their website at www.logomark.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where today we have very special guest General Colin Powell with us. And Andy Cohn, you have a reader question via email.
Yeah, we have an email question for that paints a situation that I'm sure you've faced in your career. The emailer says that she would like to know what your advice is when being newly hired by a company as a manager of a team of about 20 employees. So essentially, how do you get their approval to trust you when they don't even know you yet?
Well, the first thing is to get them to know you and to do it in a non-threatening way. I have never gone into an organization, and there may be one or two exceptions to this when an organization was completely broken, but I've never gone into an organization without spending a little time trying to understand what my predecessors have done, what they did right, what they did wrong, and why are they my predecessors. But I never come in ready to put a brand new stamp on an organization. I take my time because people are nervous. They're anxious. There's a new guy here. Oh, my gosh, what does he or she want? Are they going to fire anybody? And there's a great deal of anxiety and nervousness at that point. So just come in, say who you are. I always give an opening speech to my new employees, my new subordinates, to tell them all about me. Here's how I am. Here's how I like to do things. Here's what I expect of you. And now give me some time to learn about what's been going on in the organization. I'm going to come around and visit every one of you. Tell me what you've been doing. Tell me what's been going right. Tell me where you think things should be improved. And then after I have done this and put everybody at ease and get them to open up with me and not be terrified and keeping all their guards up, then I will start to make changes. Usually I'll start with the easy ones. It's always best to kill one of the wounded. And I don't mean, God, that sounded terrible. What it means is pick an easy problem to solve that people want solved. I can give you an example. When I went into the State Department, they had a policy that former ambassadors, career officers coming into the department because of new security regulations, could not go above the second floor without an escort. The old ambassadors found this offensive that they would be treated in this way in the State Department. So as soon as I came in and I was studying the department, I looked at that one and I found that it was, you know, unreasonable. And I changed it immediately. And it was an immediate positive impact with the former ambassadors that I trusted them. And so you look for these easy wounded things to kill. Just stomp on them. And that starts to gain confidence in you and credibility that, hey, this guy knows what's going on in here, and he knows what's bothering us. And so I always start looking for those things and take care of the easy ones before then getting into the major problems where you might have to break somebody's rice bowl, fire somebody, or make a total change in the organization that will scare people. So gain their confidence first. Take it slow. Smart people commanded or ran this organization before you did. They may have gotten in trouble and had to be told to leave, and that's why you're there. But assume that they are as good and smart as you are before you start demonstrating otherwise.
Thank you. We're going to pause for a message from another one of today's show sponsors, Prime Resources. When we return, we'll have more questions for General Powell.
Make Primeline your one-stop source for holiday gift giving with products that will dazzle your clients and make your sales soar. Prime has many ways to save you money with specials and clearance items updated daily and free 24-hour rush service available on many items throughout the catalog. For the latest information, please visit Primeline.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we are lucky to be joined by General Colin Powell this morning, who is answering your questions on leadership, and Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages Magazine, has a question now.
Yes, good morning, General Powell.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear your question. I have time for this one. Okay.
Here you go. You told us previously about an imprinted coin you give out to wounded soldiers when you meet them. What kinds of rewards do you think are particularly successful at motivating people?
I give out these coins. Coins are a very big thing in the military, and I see them spreading, really, to other organizations as well. I get businesses now that give me coins. But it's amazing. You go to Walter Reed Hospital and you visit these wounded soldiers, and then I give them one of my old State Department Secretary of State coins, and they really, really perk up. So it is a combination of a former Secretary of State visiting them, but then giving them something that memorializes that visit. And so you have to make sure it's something that kind of fits the culture of the organization that you've gone into. And in the case of the military, these coins are very, very important. Sometimes if it's a techno audience, maybe it's giving them a USB gizmo with your name on it, or pens, of course, you guys are very familiar with. Mm-hmm. So while Secretary of State or as Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, we had a full closet of things that I could use in this way and that my wife could use in this way. Imprinted plates, Jefferson plates, Jefferson cups, pens. Knives became problematic because you can't travel with them anymore. But things like that fit the audience. So we always tried to have things in our little larder of gifts that would fit the particular audience. Sometimes you had to be quite creative. I'll close with this one story, which is almost in your ballpark, but not quite, in that my German colleague, a wonderful man by the name of Joschka Fischer, knew that I had served in Germany, and when he came to visit me, he brought me a case of German beer. And so I had to give this a great deal of thought as to how I would respond to Mr. Fischer with a gift. And it turns out that he was also the head of the Greens Party, the great environmental group in Germany. And so I figured out what to give him in return. I gave him all the empties so he could turn them in as an environmental action and get the deposits back. It broke the place up, of course. But I also then gave him some pens that had my logo on it. And I also gave him something that we knew he loved, which was barbecue cooking. So we gave him a barbecue set in addition to imprinted stuff that we had at the State Department. So I'm always looking to see, frankly, what you guys have in your catalog, which I have a copy of from the last time I spoke to ASI, and I trust I will get a new one this year. So
you
I'm
can
always
even walk
looking
our
to
show
see what might be appealing to a particular individual or group in order to say that, hey, I'm not just handing you something that I happen to have, but I'm handing you something that is consistent with who you are, what you are, your culture, your organization, your company, and to really, really make it a personal gift that someone will appreciate.
Well, you have to walk our trade show floor again in Orlando this year. Well, General Powell, thank you so much for being
You're
on the show
welcome.
This morning. We really look forward to seeing you on January 5th in Orlando.
See you on the 5th in Orlando. Great
All right,
town.
See you
Bye-bye.
There. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, General.
We're going to pause for a message from Galaxy Balloons, and when we return, we'll talk more about leadership.
Galaxy Balloons, the Galactic Fun Time line, has a full line of festive holiday ornaments on sale now. These holiday ornaments are available in both shatterproof and hand-blown glass. They come in a variety of colors and are individually packed in attractive gift boxes. All ornaments ship within 5 working days. Visit www.galaxyballoon.com for more information.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we just wrapped up a conversation with General Colin Powell, who's going to be at ASI Orlando in January. To find out more about Colin Powell's keynote and to sign up for ASI Orlando, check out asishow.com. Well, we've been talking about leadership this morning, so we've got a few other interesting tidbits in that arena. And Michelle's going to start us off with 7 tips for effective leadership conversations.
First off, I thought he was great.
That was
He
phenomenal.
Was awesome.
He was fantastic.
And he really
He's got a story for everything, which is perfect.
He does.
It really
We're
is.
Very lucky to have him again in Orlando.
Well, according to this article that I found, there are 7 tips for effective managers. And what they really stress is that you want to keep conversations to a 20-minute maximum. Don't ever go any longer than 20 minutes because people lose attention and they start
conversations.
Drifting.
Is this in a meeting or one-on-one conversation?
One-on-one and in meetings. Okay. So, for example, if I'm talking to you, Melinda, you know, not any longer than 20 minutes if we're talking about business.
You're going to cut me off. It's 10.
So, well, Colin Powell said he only had these 10-minute meetings.
That's right. With several
with
people,
35
too.
People in the room.
Those were one-on-one sessions.
Yeah.
So, for example, Melinda and Rich here is here as well, our publisher and senior vice president. When people were talking to you.
I think Rich is executive vice president now. He got promoted.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much.
When did that happen?
So in positions of leadership, as you both are, one of the tips is to listen completely because you both are so busy. I'm sure there are a million different things going through your mind. So one of the tips is to really focus on the person that's talking to you and absorb what they're saying so you're able to give them the feedback, cohesively and completely. Another thing is to have a plan. Leaders who do best are the ones who take a few minutes at the outset to determine the purpose of a conversation, what questions they want to ask, and what results they expect. Keep it simple. The beauty of a 20-minute conversation is that it's focused and purposeful, and both parties know what it's about. And lastly, and I'll put some more of these tips on our website, lastly, follow up. If you say you're going to follow up, and if the employee expects it, then you need to do it. Make time to do that.
Rich, you're good about keeping it simple. You don't let people veer way off track in your meetings.
Purple.
I try not to.
Why did Michelle say purple?
That's a joke that she has with somebody that veers off in a meeting.
Oh, they just say, oh, purple.
Well, something that's unrelated to what's being spoken.
I think that's an important
tip. It's the cue to bring you back.
Yeah, it is the cue.
Well, just back to focus a little bit.
General Powell talked a lot this morning about hiring, and Kath is going to give us some more tips on how to recruit a great sales executive in particular.
That's right.
Kath, how do you do it?
Well, Rich, how do you do it? First of all, you have to play the match game and match the candidate's what he's used to or she's used to with your corporate cadence and culture. For example, small early stage companies might crave a big brand name executive who will make them look more professional, but that's not a wise thing to do because you have to match the true cadence of your company's pace against what the candidate is used to. That's key.
I would add also because sometimes that big brand person is all washed up. That's why they're available. You know, No, I'm just saying sometimes people do hire a big brand person. They worked at Procter & Gamble. They worked at this big place. But they just hire them because they worked at P&G. Mm-hmm. But they got bounced from P&G for many, many reasons, perhaps.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. Right, that's a good tip. Also, think of the basics. You want a salesperson with high energy and a winning attitude. Obviously, a great salesperson is competitive and highly motivated by winning. So make sure that person is like that. Another thing is to evaluate their track record by the numbers. Reviewing the numbers is essential to a realistic assessment of a sales executive candidate's performance. I think General Powell was touched upon this, that past performance is a kind of a measure of future performance. So see what their numbers were in their previous position.
Rich, any other things that you look for since you hire a lot of sales executives?
Well, yeah, I was just going to add something that he said. I thought that was really interesting in the way that he segued. If you're going to hire somebody in a higher position than they've had before, then it's the past that helps you, but also there's other things you have to look for, continued right. winning and challenging mm-hmm. other things. Because I thought that was a really good point he made, that when you hire somebody for a job they've never had before, you know, you can't just look at what they did.
Right,
you have
right.
to kind of look around things.
However, the characteristics that led them to do what they
exactly.
did are important in the
future character.
Position. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, along those lines, one of the favorite things that I thought he said was that the idea that the people he hires, he wants people that are willing to scream at him.
Everyone immediately looked at Michelle and started laughing.
Because God knows I am willing to tell Rich when he's being cockamamie.
Yeah, you don't always,
words,
like you said,
that's cockamamie. The one.
Well, that's an acceptable radio term.
Yes,
there's other words. That's not,
what she says.
Good point.
It's not what we always hear.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Joe, you've got some keys today to workplace excellence. Oh, and you didn't get to ask Colin Powell a question.
That's okay.
What were you going to ask him?
Well,
I'll answer
ask him
it.
About conflict resolution. Kathy, what are the best ways for leaders to resolve conflict among their staff?
Calmly and listen to all sides.
There we go.
She sounds just like her.
Call me the general.
Actually, Joe's got some keys to workplace excellence.
I have 10 workplace keys to excellence, but I'll only give you four here. Through a study, companies with more higher morale, more than 70%, outperformed those in the same industry by 11.3%. And this was based on a survey of 100,000 managers and employees. So one of the things you have to have in your company is you need to provide a compelling positive vision with clear goals. Now, the problem is a lot of companies don't have a vision, or they have a vision and they don't, you know, kind of plan that out and actually work to that vision. So you need the positive vision, and it has to be known by everyone in the company. You have to remember that we're all on the same team. And you can have great individual players, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a great team. So everyone has to work together in a team environment. Another one is recognize and reward excellent performance. So if people are doing something good, you need to recognize that. And I'll give you one more. Ensure that every employee learns and grows. So that you need to provide training for your employees, whether that's at trade shows, at the ASI show, send them for education, or through college courses and stuff. And employees who get that feel better about the company that they're working for.
How about fun? Is that on the list, having fun?
There was nothing about fun.
Because General Powell mentioned that.
That was
on
his
really
list.
Important
right? Work hard, play hard. Good yeah. balance.
Rich is going to have a party for us all. In a
that's
few
right.
And we're going to play hard.
What are we going to do at the party?
I won't break your rice bowl, though.
Please no.
We're going to have games, and Melinda's like going to lead the charades effort.
Oh,
great. That sounds.
I'm looking forward.
Now
to that.
Everyone really wants to come to the party. All right,
we have breaking news here.
We have time
on ASI Radio
for one more segment. Andy's got one company's recession survival strategy. Now, I thought the recession was over, but
well, it is. But you know, interestingly, they actually had a strategy throughout this year. It's actually a screen printing company that we found a case study of that goes along some of the lines that General Powell was talking about as far as communication is concerned. This mm-hmm. is a company that revenues had fallen significantly, and so they had to cut some staff. They had to take some Fridays off, which meant some of their hourly workers weren't going to be paid for those days. And the key that they felt to getting through that time was communicating constantly with their employees. And they have a rule basically in their operations about the payroll not being falling under a certain percentage of their gross sales. So they posted each week how their payroll was doing as far as the percentage against gross sales, so people would know if they had to take the Friday off or if they were going to have to lay off people, and just keeping their employees in the loop consistently and just basically every day and every week
no surprises.
That they knew everything. And yeah, that really goes along with some of the things that General Powell was saying.
That's great. Are we writing about this company in Counselor?
We will be.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How many people were in the company?
Let's see. I'm not sure. They had 50 employees.
5-0.
At its height. They had to cut some this year.
Well, thanks, Andy. We are out of time today. We want to give a special thanks to General Colin Powell for taking the time to be on the show today. And also give a big thanks for today's special show sponsors, I Promote You, Logomark, Prime Resources, and Galaxy Balloons. Thanks also to our wonderful audience for listening. Be sure to check us out next week at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time when we'll be talking turkey. Gobble, gobble!
Oh, my God. Yikes.